Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Friday morning good time edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Coming up, we will recap Thursday night football in the Meadowlands. The G-Men showing some life against the Eagles and getting the dub. We've got postseason baseball as well to recap, a couple of critical game fours. We'll also preview virtually every NFL match in the card this weekend. We'll do the same for some big games in college football. We've got Double D's Degenerate Parlay, our squad parlay, and pick six all in the next 3 hours. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. It's a Saturday Junior, otherwise known as Friday. Good morning, Chelsea.
Yeah, it's the best time of year, and it's the best day of the year. Mm-hmm. Or not day of the year, day of the week, I'm sorry. Maybe I was a little dramatic.
Favorite day of the year,
But it's
today.
A Friday during football season, and we have postseason baseball. It is a great time to be a sports bettor.
Man, I got to get out of this funk. I'm already out of it because I'm here with everybody. It's a Friday. Got in the lift this morning. Immediately, this guy starts talking my ear off about politics. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And not politics that I want to hear. I came this close. I'm like, Michael, take a couple deep breaths. It's a 10-minute ride. You're almost there. And I almost clapped back in the back seat. I did not. I took a breath. I said, thanks for the ride. Got out of there. And now everything's great. I'm in a good space.
But, like, that's a bold move.
It's
if
very bold.
If you're driving a Lyft or an Uber and you're like, hey, this complete stranger, how about I do everything that everybody loves to hear when they're talking to a stranger? Let's start with politics. I bet this guy is great at Thanksgiving.
I think he definitely felt the vibe. Like, he was ready to talk, and then about 3 minutes in, he got real quiet. I think he realized, oh, I probably am crossing the line here. This guy doesn't want to hear this. So, the good thing is, that's over. Here we are. It's a Friday. Like you were saying, we got a ton of sports this week. We had a ton of sports last night, including Thursday night football we got to talk about. First, let's quickly get into our bets from yesterday.
Long sigh. The losing almost by the hook bets are back. So this one didn't lose by the hook. I guess I should take solace in that. But had Cam Scataboo over 13.5 receiving yards, thought he would be a bigger part in the receiving game. But he only finished with 12 yards, so that was an L for me.
One for two night for this guy. Thank God the Dodgers came home. That was close. Whew. I was this close to an 0-3 night. Really close. Had the Brewers on the money line as well. That was a loser. Had Jackson Dart under 180.5 passing yards. I really like that. He had 195 and a great performance by the G-Men. So a loss there. Donkster, perfect this week. Had the Giants plus 7.5. Hosting the Eagles. So for the week, you are 3-2. I'm 4-5. The Donkster, a pristine 4-0 here on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Thanks for waking up with us. It's a Friday, so come along for the ride. And we're going to start with what we saw last night, Thursday night football. The Giants stunning the Eagles 34-17, an outright win. The Giants getting 7.5. They were plus 310 on the money line. And he overhits, total set at 40 and a hook. Who saw this coming? Jackson Dart, his best game yet, while continuing ways to find time in the pocket.
Interesting formation. Dart. Is he going to take off again? He might have to, but no, he finds an open man and hits him. Robinson stays in bounds. Robinson's going to go all the way for a touchdown.
Al Michaels with a call on Amazon Prime. It's 7-3 Giants. Dart goes 17 of 25, 195 yards in that touchdown. Also rushes for 58 yards in a score. And then on the ground, Cam Scataboo grew up running his head into a telephone pole. Last night, he was running into Eagles defenders. 19 carries, 98 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
A lot. Here's Scandaboo to the end zone. Touchdown.
Once again, that's from Amazon Prime. New York scores 5 touchdowns in a game against the Eagles for the first time since 2012. I don't know if the Giants are legit or if the Eagles are bad, but this was an all-around fantastic performance out of nowhere from the Giants.
Hell yeah, it was. This is the high-end potential that we were talking about for the Giants yesterday when we said, hey, there's a lot of volatility if you're betting on the Giants, but I will say there is some potential there because we did see it in the game against the Chargers. We saw the bad version against the Saints, but last night it was all good. Jackson Dart running all over them. So was Cam Scataboo. But Jinx, what do you think the bigger takeaway is from this game? The fact that the Giants have some life, maybe for the future of their franchise, or the fact that the Eagles now look like a bad team. It would be one thing if they lost in a close game, but they didn't look good for the entirety of the game. They looked like a bad team.
I think the Eagles are in trouble now. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And the Eagles got pushed around on both lines of scrimmage. Jalen Hurts did not look good, threw a critical interception there in the fourth quarter. And now we're seeing not only A.J. Brown upset, it was Lane Johnson after the game. I mean, this is a guy on the Eagles offensive line who said, we need to be less predictable. We need to find more variety in our play calling. A.J. Brown said as much. He said after the game, we're trying to find our identity. The Eagles have no idea who they are right now. They know who they think they should be, but especially on offense, they just don't know who they are or what they want to do. They're not creative at all. They're not performing at a high level. Saquon, again, had less than 60 yards last night. He's now had less than 60 yards in 5 of 6 games this season. I don't particularly feel like the Eagles like each other a whole lot. They seem kind of miserable. For a defending world champion, the Eagles seem like they're not having any fun and they're kind of confused, and the Giants dominated them last night.
I feel like this is the downside for the Eagles is that when they get down on themselves and the attitudes start to sour, we see the team kind of fall apart. And we saw that, what was it, the year that they went on the road and got smoked by the Bucs in the first round of the playoffs? Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like where everybody was like, Nick Sirianni's a bad coach and he can't get everybody's attitudes on the same page. So I don't know if this is when he really has to dig deep or maybe if it's just a matter of the play calling and the offense being terrible. But, like, something's got to give. And I think this is why it's so difficult for teams to repeat as Super Bowl champions. Because, you know, then you get everybody's best effort. You get a really tough schedule. And it's just hard to repeat dominance. It's something we don't see in the NFL often.
You know who really enjoyed this win? Me and Denton.
Commanders fans.
Yes, there's a reason why. There's a just because we're bros. That's why.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, we were talking about it. But honestly, there's a reason why. You've heard this stat before, but it bears repeating. There has not been a repeat champion in the NFC East in more than 2 decades, and this is why. Because it's so difficult to repeat as a division champion, much less a Super Bowl champion. And now, look, the Giants look okay. They look better. They're still the Giants. Let's not exaggerate too much here based on one performance. The Eagles look like a mess. The Cowboys are very mid. The Commanders can win this division.
What are the standings right now? Because I will say this, like, the Eagles are still 4-2. Like, luckily, they have been a bad team for most of the season, but they've won a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if these are fixable problems. I think that's what we're all wondering, is that, are these problems that can be corrected in the next few weeks for the Eagles? Because it's not like they're, you know, devoid of talent. When you have, like, all these great guys on the offensive line and you run the tush-push 4 straight times.
I know. God.
Jinx, can we pause for a second?
Yes.
This is driving people absolutely crazy. I feel like it's something where you watch and you're like, oh, my God, they're going to do it again? They're going to do it for a third time? A fourth time?
Fourth time?
What am I watching? Right?
Yeah.
And I think the toughest part is that I think a lot of people are coming around to the idea of, like, getting rid of the tush-push because you simply can't officiate it. It feels like they're lining up offsides, at least on, like, 2 of the 4 tries. So I think a lot of people were rolling their eyes last night.
I think so. Now we're seeing, I think, the tush-push come to an end. Like, it had its run. And also, I think the Eagles are tired of it. Like, when you talk about lack of creativity on offense, like, imagine if you're a lineman. That has to be brutal on your body. Hasn't Jason Kelce talked about that when he played? Mm-hmm. Like, how tough it is to run that play. And then you run it four straight times. Like, not only is that zero creativity, that has to be absolutely brutal on you physically and probably wears you down when you're trying to stay fresh for the rest of the game and it's your own offensive play calling which is hurting you.
Right, and I think it's sad that that's, like, the only play that works.
Yeah.
Like, it's impressive, I suppose. But, like, you should be able to do more than a rugby play if you want to call yourself a good football team.
1,000%. And I think it's holding them back, and I think the Eagles feel that. Up next for Philly, they visit the Vikings on Sunday. The Giants head to Denver. How about some baseball, Chelsea? The Dodgers, what a great game this was. They downed the Phillies in extras. In 11, 2-1, Dodgers minus 120 on the money line. Total set at 7.5. The under hits. Tight game throughout. Both teams get runs in the 7th. Then in the bottom of the 11th, bases loaded. Two outs. Andy Páez facing Orion Kikering.
Right. Páez breaks his bat. Kikering got to find it. Throws to the plate. Oh, my goodness. He throws it away. And the Dodgers have won.
Call courtesy of TBS. You can see right now. Oh, Kikering just bowled over and just heartbroken. That was a tough way to go home. It's only the second postseason series to ever end on a walk-off error. The Dodgers advanced to the NLCS for the 8th time in 13 years. I'm not a Phillies guy, but it's tough to see a guy make an error like that. Could have gone to first, goes home instead, and just threw it away.
Ah, it's been a tough series for Kikering. Like, he's given up some runs in big spots, and this is going to be the play that everybody remembers, unfortunately. But I think if you look at it from a logical perspective, like, you're in the 11th inning. Like, eventually you got to score a run, mm-hmm. and it's just too much pressure on your defense. And this was a good hustle play from the Dodgers. I think it was Ha-Seong Kim who was running in from third, and he was a pinch runner. So the Dodgers knew what they were doing here. They put in some speed at third for this reason. And then, you know, sometimes if your fundamentals are not completely sound, if you don't know where you're throwing the ball when it comes to you, this is something we do in Little League where you tell everybody, hey, if you get the ball, you need to throw to first. Hey, if you get the ball, make sure you go to home plate. But he bobbled it, so I think he kind of panicked in the moment.
Yeah.
And it was a big moment, and your season's over.
That's what Kikering said. He said once he bobbled it, he didn't know if he had time to turn, and he just immediately, it was a reaction in the moment where he's like, I'll just go home, and should have gone to first. And that's going to haunt him for a while. That's a tough way to end a series. I feel bad for the guy. Dave Roberts, Dodgers skipper, said after the game, they cracked, we didn't. Man, tough. Mm. It's tough.
That's exactly what happened, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you're playing 11 innings, because that's the thing. Like, a lot of people can point their fingers at him and say, hey, he made the game-losing error.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, you were going to have to score at some point. And, like, that Dodgers lineup is really good as well. It just feels very anticlimactic that this is the way that one of the favorites to win the World Series is now quietly exiting the postseason.
Well, before we get to the Cubs, we'll let Philly fans speak through Double D in the chat, who says, three games where your starters go 6 or 7 innings, giving up no runs, and you lose them? Unacceptable. Phillies fan right there. Unacceptable. In Chicago, the Cubs blank the Brewers. This is what we get for booping the Cubs on the nose yesterday, Chelsea. We went so cute.
Old takes exposed.
6-0, Cubs, even money. Total set at 7, the under hits. The Cubs get going in the first and never look back.
Happ with a drive. Right field. Way back there. Gone! More first inning fireworks. Ian Happ takes Freddy Peralta deep for the second time in the series, and the Cubs lead 3-0.
Yes, they do. What a performance by Chicago. And early on, again, Happ 1-for-5, that home run. Kyle Tucker 2-for-3 with a homer as well. Michael Busch 1-for-4 with a long ball. Call courtesy of TBS. I was hating on Matthew Boyd yesterday. He goes 4 2/3. Shutout baseball from him. The Cubs with 10 hits. They even the series at 2. And now we get a Game 5 in Milwaukee. I really did not see the Cubs getting to Freddy Peralta, but they did.
I think a lot of it had to do with the home field environment. And we said that this was the sabotage factor because it feels like in the postseason, Wrigley gets absolutely rocking. And you could tell that the home crowd was absolutely in the dome of Freddie Peralta because he just kept giving up home runs. And I'll say this, the Cubs may have some issues on their bullpen depth, but when it comes to power, there is no shortage. The Cubs lead all teams in the postseason with 11 home runs, you know, since the postseason has started. And it's bailed them out of a lot of things.
Yeah, it really has. And Milwaukee had chances in this game. Brewers go just 1-for-13 in with runners in scoring position. Game 5 set for Saturday night in Milwaukee. No starting pitcher's name just yet, but if you look at the odds, the Brewers have been installed as the favorites at minus 130. All right, coming up in 5 minutes, Week 6 is underway in the NFL, so we're going to decide which early games we like on Sunday and if another beatdown is on the way for the Jets. She's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Great to have you with us on a Friday. It's the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Please gamble responsibly.
It's Friday, y'all. Good to have you back. I'm James, she's Chelsea, the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Coming up on the show, week 6 in the NFL, and another chance for some Joe Flacco magic. How about that? So this story is a couple days old, but whatever. I wanted to discuss it with you. I feel like it flew under the radar. Did you see where the NFL fined Jerry Jones $250,000? For flipping off Jets fans last week. And Jerry's... Did you see this? So Jerry's excuse just made me howl. Like, this guy... The video's there. Like, he's definitely flipping off a Jets fan. And they asked Jerry about it, and he says it was a total accident. He was like, no, I was talking to a Cowboys fan. I meant to give him a thumbs up. Because I just put up the wrong show on the hand. That was inadvertently done. I'm not kidding. You want to call it accidental, call it accidental. He accidentally flipped someone off. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to give a thumbs up to someone and I accidentally give them the bird. Happens all the time. Like, he's not... This guy's not fooling anybody.
Right? Like, I don't think he's old and senile enough yet to pull off this excuse. Like, if he could barely form a sentence, maybe we would believe him. But, like, he's still talking to the media and he's still running a team, which I might say maybe he's not doing the best job at. But, like, I would tend to think that he knows which finger is which.
Yes. You know, it takes, you know how much work it takes? I mean, it's not like it's some sort of marathon that you're running, but it takes a lot more work to flip someone the bird than to give a quick thumbs up. You know what I mean? He knew exactly what he was doing. Like, Jerry, what are we doing here? He's just one sideshow after the other.
I also feel like since you know like what weight the middle finger carries, that like you don't point with your middle finger. Like I feel like it's ingrained in your muscle memory that like you don't do that ever. Like you don't point to things using your middle finger. You don't like scroll. You do things with your ring or your index finger for that reason. So I don't know where he got this, if he's just doing this flippantly. Because we've never seen this before. Like, if this was something he actually mistook things for, we would have seen it happen before.
Well, you know, Jerry has a hard time controlling that middle finger. If that were a thing, then, which is a weird thing to be a thing, you know, then maybe. But this is just Jerry being Jerry. Well, Cowboys, I believe they are in Carolina this week. That's one of the games we're going to talk about. So let's get to our early slate in the National Football League. Here we go. This always gets me jacked up. Faced with an 0-6 start under new head coach Aaron Glenn, the New York Jets forced themselves to look in the mirror. And what they saw made them leave the country for London. Broncos and Jets. Just for my own amusement here. The Broncos are laying 7.5. Denver is minus 375. The Jets are 3-1. Total set at 43 and a hook. I am going to be on the Broncos here. I think I'm going to play it at 7. I don't feel great about 7.5. The only case I can make for the Jets, Chelsea, is just the number maybe being too big because the Jets stink.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing that makes me worry in this game is the fact that it's overseas, and sometimes we see chaos unfold when games go overseas because, you know, a lot of things change for teams' routines. But I'll say this, I think the play that I like the most in this one is the under of 43.5. I know it's really low, but if there is a bad matchup for the Jets, it's certainly the Broncos. And their defense has really ramped up things. We know that secondary has all kinds of great pieces, including Pat Surtain, reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year. So I think it's going to make it really tough on Justin Fields. And we know he is a great runner, but when you can't get the pass game going, the run game is going to be way less efficient than in other games. So I think it's just going to be tough for the Jets to score points. And I do think if the Broncos are winning this game handily, they're going to run the football. So I think the under 43.5 is the way to go for me.
That's a good call. I will say if you're thinking about laying the points with the Broncos, I haven't seen many people who are taking the Jets here. But also, I just want to know how the Jets are going to move the football, especially against the Broncos defense. That is fifth overall, fifth against the run. That's going to mean probably Justin Fields dropping back and passing a lot. That gives me no confidence in that Jets offense because they need to be balanced if they want to be effective at all. Browns and Steelers in the Steel City. Pittsburgh laying 5.5. Steelers minus 275 on the money line. The Browns are plus 225, and your total is 38.5. It is a battle in the AFC North. What do you think?
Jinx, you're going to hate this pick. I'm still on the Browns.
Are you?
With a total this low and a divisional matchup. Like, the total's 38.5. I am not expecting much from this Browns offense. I just have faith in the Browns defense because we have seen them go against really good offenses and make them look mediocre. And I honestly feel like the Steelers are kind of mediocre. I understand they're leading the AFC North, but it just doesn't feel like a high-end offense. So I feel like if you can keep them under wraps and maybe keep this game really tight, this is when the Browns actually have a chance. So I believe in that defense. I think they can put some pressure on Aaron Rodgers. Because remember, Aaron Rodgers is still very, very old and not very fleet of foot. So I think if you're getting 5, that's good. I think there's 5.5s and 6s still out there. So I do think that it's a divisional matchup. This is kind of what we've come to expect from the AFC North. So it's not my favorite play of the week, but I would lean towards the Browns.
Yeah, this line's been all over the place. It opened at 4.5, got all the way up to 5.5, touched 6. Now it's back at 5. So you've got someone who's very, very old taking on someone who's very, very young in Dylan Gabriel. I just don't know how I feel about him against the Steelers defense, especially with an extra week to prepare for a young quarterback. I think they can confuse him and cover the number. Also, I'll give credit to Shedeur Sanders. He was asked about Dylan Gabriel yesterday and finally just gave a nice, generic answer, which is exactly what he should have been doing. He didn't mime anything. He just said, yeah, you know, I'm confident in myself. I'm highly confident in myself. I'm going to wait for my time. I think that will come, but we're going to do our best to get Dylan ready because, you know, he's earned the spot and we want to win the game. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm like, great. Did you hear about that? No, you didn't hear about it. Why? Because he answered it like a professional. See how easy that is?
And I'm sure he really meant it, right? Because it only took him, 2 months into the season to finally give us the answer they should have been giving months ago. So, yes, at least he's learning his lessons because he still is a young guy.
He is. Cards and Colts. This is one of the more fascinating matchups, I think, this week. Like, how good are the Colts? Colts are laying 7. They're minus 350. Arizona's plus 280. Total set at 47. I like the Colts a lot. Just as a story, I know you hate the Colts. I hate the Colts.
I do.
I know. It cracks me up. It's so funny. I hate the Colts. I think they're a great story with Daniel Jones and Jonathan Taylor, who's been, I mean, you talk about unbelievable. I believe he leads the NFL in rushing. He's been fantastic. But I feel like this is too many points here. Now we're seeing it come back to Arizona a little bit. So Arizona now getting 6.5. I feel like when you have Kyler Murray on the other side, it's a lot of points to be laying if you're the Colts. Are you on Indy?
I think it's tough in the NFL because it almost feels like playing the stock market. It's less about like the team matchup and more about the fact that I think a lot of people are probably too low on the Cardinals after what we saw last week against the Titans. So when you see a 7, and I'm looking and it looks like it's 6.5 now, maybe we've seen some buyback on the Cardinals, but still, this is the NFL and the Cardinals, I will give them this. Most of their games have been close. I know a lot of those games they have lost, but they have been low scoring, and Arizona has been in most of those games. So if that kind of follows the game plan here, the Cardinals certainly do have a chance if you're giving them 7 points. But I will say this, as somebody who hates the Colts, all of the numbers absolutely love the Colts. They have the best points differential in all of football, the best scoring margin. So it's one of those teams where I think people don't want to believe it because it's a team that's kind of new to the power rankings. But, I mean, it's October 10th. At what point do we actually start to give them credit? So this is a no play for me. I think the Colts do win, but 7 points is certainly a lot.
So I've been going through the schedule here, just sort of game by game. But I don't want to lock you into a corner here, push you into a corner. Is there a game in this early slate that you really like?
God, I was going to like think that you were saying like, hey, are you going to bet on the Colts to win the AFC South? I'm like, no, I'm not putting money on the Colts. I hate the Colts. All right, so
I like that you're getting mad about something I didn't even say.
Yeah.
You could have said this, and I would have been angry.
It's like when women get mad at you for something you did in a dream. They're like, how could you? You looked at that other girl in my dream? You apologize to me right now. All right, so I'll try to rein it in here, Jinx. All right, what do you make of this game? Because I think this is going to make the card for me. Patriots-Saints.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots are laying 3.5. And I don't think the Saints are as bad as maybe I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
But I just believe a lot in the Saints. And I like what Mike Vrabel is building with the culture. And I think Drake May is a real deal. Like, this passing offense, I have all the faith in the world in it. The defense has been good as well. So if we were talking about, like, one of the top-tier teams in the NFL, which I feel like the Patriots are quickly climbing the ranks to being one of those, I feel like we'd have to lay a bigger number here. So I do like the Patriots laying 3.5 against the Saints. Are you going to talk me off of it?
No, I completely agree with you. I think this is one of my more favorite games in the early slate. Here's the thing is that I liked the Saints last week, and I was on the Saints. I thought it was a good spot for them to get a dub. Thankfully, that came home. But still, the Saints are not a good football team. And also, we're undervaluing the Patriots here. Like, this is a Saints offense that I don't know is going to be able to score enough to keep this within a number. They scored less than 20 points in 3 of their 5 games this year. And the reason why they won last week is because Jackson Dart was a turnover machine. I mean, he just had that classic rookie step back where he just had a bad game. Drake May, in his second year, is not going to turn over the ball like that, I don't believe. So I think this number is too low as well. So, yeah, I'll lay the 3.5 in New England. I think this is a touchdown win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game for Stephon Diggs as well.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like he has reawakened, and he is truly their number one receiver. And I know last week was a revenge game against Buffalo, but he's also getting a ton of targets. Like, he got 7 targets the week before and 12 targets in that Buffalo game. Why would you not rely heavily on somebody who has such enormous upside? So I think Stephon Diggs has a great spot in this one as well.
Yeah, he's been great. Maybe he just needs more pink powder. Ever since we saw that, he's upped his game. You know, it's working for him. Cowboys and Panthers, what do you think about this game? So Dallas is laying 3. They're minus 170 on the money line. Carolina's plus 140. Total is 49.5. I kind of think the Panthers are the right side. I mean, I don't want to bet on Carolina. What do you think? What does Jake think?
Well, Jake is still depressed because both of our teams are still terrible. And although we did have our one win of the season that we shared last week, The future still does not feel bright to me for the Panthers, but my play in this one is I feel like for the Cowboys, you have to always at least consider the over. Because I'll say this, Dak Prescott has been putting up good numbers in a passing offense that maybe we didn't believe in after CeeDee Lamb went down, but he's been slinging the rock. So I think if you believe in the Panthers at all, if you think their offense can get going, I think the over's the play.
I read this stat via the Action Network, and I think it's very interesting and something that bettors should keep in mind, and it definitely applies to this game. So teams with more than 60% of the tickets this season are 13-30 against the spread. So in the 23 years they've been tracking this trend, this has been the worst year ever for the public. The public has been getting smashed in the NFL. So more than 60% of the bets, pause. And the reason why I say that is because the Cowboys are getting 78% of the tickets. So that makes me think, Carolina's undefeated at home. Now they're getting 3.5. Money coming in on the Cowboys, always a publicly bet team. I think I'd be on Carolina.
I just think it goes back to the over, because I do think the sabotage factor for the Cowboys is their defense, because we've seen their defense give up large chunk plays and a ton of points in some of these games. So I think, you know, if you believe in the Panthers being able to sling it, and I do think that this Cowboys offense is trustworthy enough to at least put some points on the board. So again, I think I'm going to lean on the over.
This next play I love. Seahawks getting a point, or you can play the Seahawks minus 105 on the money line. They're in Jacksonville. Jacksonville's laying one. Total is 47 and a hook. I think the Seahawks here, I mean, it's essentially a coin flip. I love Seattle on this game.
This feels like another like stock market play, where you see the Jags coming off a huge win against the Chiefs. But, like, look at some of the chaos that had to happen in that game. Like, I understand they had some chaos go the other way, where they fumble on the goal line, and then Trevor Lawrence had some, like, boneheaded plays as well. But, like, it took him, like, falling flat on his face and getting back up and the other team not knowing what's going on for them to win that game. So I think it's one of those things where people are going to say, oh, the Jags just beat the Chiefs. They're a good team, which, you know, they still can be a good team. But I think the Seahawks offense is really good as well. So, again, I feel like it's one of those buy-low spots on the Seahawks and a sell-high spot on the Jags.
Yeah, you know the Jags. This is a perfect letdown spot for Jacksonville, right? In a game in prime time against Kansas City coming off a win. And the Seahawks are sneaky good. I think this is a top-10 team in the NFL. I really do. Like, Sam Darnold is playing out of his mind. I know he had that interception at the end of that game against the Bucs, but A, the Bucs are really good, and B, he completed more than 80% of his passes and put up 35 points. That should win you a game each and every time you go out. I like Seattle this weekend. Coming up next on the show, to the afternoon slate we go. And if Chelsea's Titans can make it two straight dubs, hell yeah. Oh, let's go. It's the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Share with that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Feels good to be here on a Friday. Friday morning, good time edition. Jinx, Chelsea. D-Day's here. Double D's here. Dylan's here. Good to have the entire crew ready for you. Coming up on the show, the afternoon slate in the National Football League. And yes, we'll talk Titans and Raiders. Chelsea, if you're looking to make some cash, maybe Jake can change his name. I say that because Busch Light is running a new season campaign. Maybe not make some cash, but if you want some free beer, I bet Jake likes beer. Who doesn't? So Busch Light's market share has dropped 93% over the past 5 years. No one is drinking Busch beer. So they're coming out with these cans that are camouflage. Hunting cans, they're calling them. So between now and like the end of the month, if you legally change your name to Hunter, they will enter you in a contest to pay for your beer, 19 years worth of free Busch Light. When I saw this, I'm like, oh, you change your name to Hunter? You get 19 years worth of beer, which is a weird number, by the way. And no, you change your name, you tweeted them and showed them the documentation, and then you're entered, and then they choose one person to get 19 years worth of beer. Like, I'm not changing my name unless I immediately get the beer. It's a terrible campaign.
Well, and why wouldn't you do Bush? Like, change your last name to Bush, which is the name of the company, instead of Hunter.
I don't know, Chelsea.
Like, that doesn't even make sense. And here's the thing. Like, they have done the camo cans before. I've seen these janks. They had these in college. And it feels to me like 19 years of Bush Light is more of a punishment than a reward. Who wants to drink the same beer for 19 years, especially right. Bush Light? Or hell, even Bush Heavy, if that's your preference. So I don't know. This is a terrible contest. Why not just offer a deal to Michael Bush of the Chicago Cubs, who's hitting tanks right now?
Yeah. He's probably like, nah, no thanks. I don't like Bush Light. If you change your name, you get the beer. This just enters you into a contest? No thanks. I don't think so. And also, I don't think anyone wants to change their last name to Bush. Like Hunter, you can deal with. Bush, I don't know. This doesn't feel right.
It just doesn't make sense, though. It's like, why don't you change it to Brown? Like,
Brown.
Hunter?
God, that's
like,
the worst
of all. People won't even put two and two together where, like, hey, you're promoting Bush beer. It's like, hey, we want you to put a wrap on your car, you know, for, I don't know, Olive Garden, but it's going to say red. You're like, what? That's bad promotion.
Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you what game requires a lot of Bush beer. Titans Raiders. Holy Lord. You'll be watching. You'll be watching. Raiders laying 4.5. They're minus 225 on the money line. Tennessee is plus 185. Total set at 41.5. Titans are the play. The Raiders should not be laying 4.5 to anyone. This is a garbage team. I know the Titans are bad too, but this is not where you should be laying this kind of number with Vegas. They're bad on both sides of the ball. Geno Smith has been a turnover machine. I think the Titans can keep this close. I think the Titans can win outright.
Well, good luck to you, sir. I have watched Titans football all season long, and I do not have any faith in them. And here's the bottom line for me. We do this across all sports. Do not bet on two bad teams. Like, we talk about this in, like, the NBA, where we're like, hey, do you really want to bet on the Hornets and Nets? No, don't bet on games like this. Just because both teams have the propensity to be absolutely terrible. So even if you say, hey, this team's really bad, I don't know if you've seen the Titans offense in some of these games. They scored 0 points against the Texans, Jenks. Zero. And they've changed play callers. And they didn't even go to the offensive coordinator. They're like, hey, let's go further down the list. And you're like, that means you probably don't have a ton of faith in your offensive coordinator, right? If you're like, hey, we don't want you calling the plays, but you are our offensive coordinator. So, like, this is a Titans team that still has a lot of flaws. And, like, let's put the same logic that we put into some of the other games where we say, hey, it's a game of the stock market. You look at the Titans and some people are going to say, hey, they found something. They beat the Cardinals last week. There had to be, like, so many crazy things happen for the Titans to win that game, including, like, somebody dropping the ball before the goal line that cost the Cardinals 7 points. And then there was, like, a wild interception that the Cardinals then fumbled, and the Titans recovered in the end zone. Those are two scoring plays that the Titans had to have to barely win that game. So it just still feels like a team that is not worth trusting, in my opinion.
You just need a couple Bush beers, and everything will be fine. Relax. Come on. Chase it with a Keystone. How about that?
Nobody over the age of, like, 22 should be drinking those type of beers. In college, I understand.
Right.
You are drinking for business, not for pleasure. You are drinking to get drunk, and that is a cheap option. But once you get out of college, you should be drinking for something that you like the flavor of. Bush beer does not taste like beer. It tastes like beer-flavored water.
Well, there goes your sponsorship, Chelsea. There it goes. Bengals were drunk this week, trading for Joe Flacco. I don't know what they were drinking. They're in Green Bay. The Packers are laying 14. The Packers minus 1,100 since he is 7-1. Total set at 44.5. This is such a stupid line. Like, 14? It could happen, but I would... Look, I am not betting on this game, but honestly, I would grab the Bengals at 14 points. Because we saw last week, even though it was Jake Browning instead of Joe Flacco, the Bengals could absolutely cover with a backdoor here. You know, Joe Flacco could go deep, find Ja'Marr Chase, and end up covering the number. It's two touchdowns. I know the Packers have had 2 weeks to get ready, but this game does not interest me. Outside of just maybe seeing Joe Flacco in a Bengals uniform.
We have a segment on the show called The First Impression Rose, where we go down the slate. We're like, hey, this game's going to make the card. I'm going to look into this one. This is the opposite of that. You see the line on this game, you're like, nope. Hell no. No, thank you. It's like when a traveling salesman comes to my door. And I'm like, do not come to my home. Slam. Like 14 points in this economy. I don't care what team you are. I am not going to be laying 14 points in the National Football League.
How many traveling salesmen come to your door? Does this happen on
a fairly regular basis?
Does it? That's crazy to me. That's crazy.
We literally have a sign in front of our neighborhood that says no soliciting, but yet people come to our door. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm in the middle of a nap. You know, I'm in my underwear. I have on a long t-shirt. I have no makeup on.
Right.
Please leave. How would you like somebody coming to your house unannounced in the middle of the day? No, please leave.
What are they selling? Vacuums?
I don't know. Like
crazy.
Random things are like, did you know you have a shingle missing on your roof?
Oh, God.
I don't know. It's not something I'm looking into while I'm napping. Go away.
Yeah, I told Jake to do that when he gets back from his tournament. I'm not worried about it. Slam. Done.
I'm so mean. I don't care.
Niners and Bucks. Niners on the road in Tampa. And the Bucks are laying 3. Tampa Bay minus 165 on the money line. San Francisco is plus 140. Total set at 47.5. I keep going back and forth in this game, but I kind of think the Niners are the play at plus 3 if you're picking a side.
I think from a logic standpoint, that's kind of what I've landed on. If you keep going back and forth, because I did the same thing as you where I'm looking hard at this game. I'm like, can I make a case for the Bucks? Because like the Bucks are a good team and I do think they're undervalued. But maybe you could say the same thing for the Niners. Like a lot of people do not want to believe in Mac Jones. But here we sit, and Mac Jones has put up some pretty good numbers. So I think if you think that it's a coin flip and you find yourself waffling, I'm not going to play this, but wouldn't you lean towards the points, especially if you're getting a field goal?
Yeah, I think so. And also, when you really want to bet the Bucks is when they're an underdog. Now, that's going to become more difficult because they're really good this season. As a dog with Tampa, Baker Mayfield is 16-8 against the spread, but as a favorite, just 9-9. And so it looks like that Mac Jones is going to play instead of Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is still not ready to go. Jones has been limited because of a knee injury he suffered against the Rams, but he's looked really good. I sort of think that Mac Jones is kind of an upgrade over Brock Purdy, so I kind of like the fact that Jones is going to get the call this week.
Right, and you get more points.
Yeah.
I do think that, you know, Mac Jones is still being undervalued here because usually, like, the handicap on the Bucs is that they're usually undervalued.
Yeah.
And they're usually the team that's getting too many points, but not in this situation. In the battle of undervalued, the Niners still take the cake. And we see how much a good head coach can take a team. Like we saw with Kyle Shanahan beating the Rams last week. I'm not saying it's an outright win. I am just saying we've also seen the Bucs play in a ton of close games. So when you're giving me a field goal, I think that's the play for the Niners.
I agree. Sunday Night Football, this is going to be a good one. Lions at the Chiefs. Chiefs laying 2.5. Chiefs minus 135 on the money line. The Lions are plus 115. Your total is 50 at BetMGM. Make it legendary. For me, this is one of those classic, I'm not going to bet this game, but I can't wait to watch this game. But I feel like a lot of people will look at the Lions and how they've dominated teams and beyond Detroit getting the points. I think the Chiefs are the right side. They have to have this game. They're going to be angry after losing to Jacksonville, and they cannot afford to fall to 2-4.
Well, if you believe in line movement, like the Lions were, what, 1 earlier in the week? And we've seen a lot of money or a lot of sharp action, whatever moves the number on the Chiefs here. Also, we've seen a ton of line movement when it comes to the total. So this one opened at 50. Now it's 52.5. So, Jenks, that was my hypothesis was I do think the Lions can score. I do think the Chiefs' offense is getting better. So I thought an over was in play. But when it moves 2.5 points, like what's the point where you say, okay, this line has moved too much. I need to wave goodbye.
Well, could you take the Chiefs on the money line at minus 140? It's not a terrible price.
I think the Chiefs could lose. Like, honestly, I don't feel super – like I like the total better is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. I'm saying the total has moved 2.5 points.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the movement of the spread. No, I think that's probably the right side. I mean, you've got so much offensive firepower on the field. And Patrick Mahomes is not going to make a mistake like he did last week, throwing that 99-yard pick six. He's going to recover. I feel like the Chiefs are going to be hyper-motivated at home, and I think they're going to get the dub here.
I think there's going to be points in this one, but it goes against, like, what I've learned as a bettor.
Yeah.
When the odds makers think it's 50, it's moved to 52.5, and then you have to get, like, a whole three other extra points. And usually these lines are pretty sharp, so I think this one's moved too much, but I do think we see a lot of points.
Yeah, I think so as well. Want to mention this before we go to break. Sister Jean, we talked about her a couple months ago. She has passed away. Became famous in 2018, I know, during Loyola of Chicago's run to the Final Four. Loyola President Mark C. Reed says this: in her honor, we can aspire to share with others the love that Sister Jean shared with us. She was 106, a life well-lived, inspired so many people. Coming up next on the show, the Buckeyes barrel their way into Champaign while Texas and Oklahoma lock horns in Big D. We're going to preview the weekend in college football next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Come on back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.